Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rise of Justice Movement podcast. My name is Zachary Mallory, and I am the host and founder of the Rise Above Justice Movement and the host of the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. Today, I am joined by somebody who somebody who I absolutely adore on social media, and her name is Kate Russell. She is a content creator, and without further ado, Kate, welcome to the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. Feel free to introduce yourself, what got you started in content creation, and walk us through your journey.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. My name is Kate Russell. Kate with a C. So if you go looking for me, I'm at the Kate Russell, CATE. But yeah, so I am a newbie content creator on Instagram and TikTok. You can also find me on Threads and the occasional face YouTube. I need to get better on YouTube. But hi, I'm happy to be here.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it is deep, dark, and cloudy in my part where I am at, which coincidentally we are in the same state of Kansas, but it's dark and cloudy here. We got like a lot of rain coming, but let's jump in and talk about, being a progressive content creator. What does your platform look like? What do you cover? What can people expect from you? Just walk us through your content creation, journey, and then also, becoming a progressive content creator and why content creators need to get the message out there. And I know I'm
Yeah,
throwing a
for
lot of
sure.
questions, but it
No,
all
yeah,
kind of
you're
ties
fine.
together.
It does. Yeah. So I started doing content creation in June. So very new, only a few months now. And I just remember with everything with this administration and all of the news, and especially with immigration, that's what really was pulling at me. I just remember one morning just going into my husband, just like sobbing, like I need to say something. This isn't okay what's happening. I don't understand how people think that this is okay. And it mainly started as like a way for me to vent. And now it has kind of exploded. I am now getting millions of views a week. I just reached 10,000 followers this morning, which was really big. And so to do all of that in 3 months, it's just kind of crazy that, and it's nice to see that there is a community here and that people want to hear what I have to say, and that it's resonating with people and that it's encouraging other people to speak out. I know for me, I'm the firstborn. I'm the eldest daughter, the eldest granddaughter. I'm very much a classic people pleaser. So getting, ready to speak out, it took a lot of, I would say, courage on my part because I don't want to disappoint people and I come from a very conservative family. And so for me to be here is a big step. So I want to encourage other content creators and other people who maybe have a lot to say but don't know where to start, just start because your voice matters.
And every voice matters, right? And that's the, you write on Substack, and one of your articles from September 9th is called The Rise of Control Freaks. This caught my attention because, like you said, there's a lot of misinformation that goes around. There's anti-LGBTQ things going, there's anti-this, anti-that, and especially like anti-science, anti-women's rights, which you talked about in this article. What inspired you specifically to write this? Because this headline, is literally like the rise of control freaks, because they're also trying to control women, like you said, like women's rights, trying to tell a woman what they can and what they can't do with their body. They're hiding the Jeffrey Epstein files, which you've been very, talkative about. What inspired you specifically to write like this little bit of a part of an article right here? I'm excited to do a deeper dive into like your Instagram reels, and then also, I'll ask you some questions about that as well. But what inspired you to write? I keep cackling because I think about this, and you think about I'm just gonna read the first part of this article where it states there's a group of Among Us. Let's call them the controllers. They show up in our schools. our communities and our politics, wearing the mask of morality while wielding a sledgehammer of oppression. Woo! Let's sit that with that for a second. And what inspired you to write this specific part? Like, what's the inspiration behind it?
Like I said, I come from a very conservative family. I have been raised in the church. I went to a private Christian university. Very much Christian nationalism, which I didn't fully realize until recently, which has been very eye-opening for me. But I just remember growing up and hearing, because I'm a millennial, so like I grew up with 9/11 and I grew up through the wars. And I just remember everyone talking about the what Islam was doing. And it's not Islam, it's this is a very extreme Islam. I wanna make that clear. I'm not talking about the religion itself, but the extremists. And I remember them talking about how terrible what they were doing was with towards their women and towards their children. And I just see a lot of those same similarities today, and they don't. Which is what inspired me to write this article for Substack, because a lot of the same things that I remember growing up hearing conservative people around me saying, and then them cheering for those same things today. I just the hypocrisy of everything is what eats at me the most. And so that is what inspired this article, was just calling out that hypocrisy that I see.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I admire the way that you write, because you do it in a very articulate way that is easy to digest and easy to read. You know, it's not there's a lot of different content creators out there that make things very complicated to understand, but you break it down in a way that just the common person could definitely, you know, digest it and figure out what you're talking about, right? And you've been very, you talk a lot about science being under attack, which, you know, today, September 22nd, RFK Jr. is expected to talk about, quote unquote, the research behind the direct correlation supposedly between Tylenol and autism. And obviously, this is a very dangerous, like, rhetoric and, you know, very dangerous and tumultuous, quote unquote, research. So whenever we think about science being under attack, whenever we think about everything being, you know, like public health and everything's really connected, right? What's your thoughts behind that? And how can we as content creators shatter those narratives and put out the direct actual information? What I'm thinking is, you know, obviously I was growing up, I knew something was, quote unquote, off with me, if that makes sense. And because I was very defiant, you know, I didn't learn the way other people were learning. And then it wasn't until I was 25 years old, so 4 years ago, actually 4 years ago tomorrow, actually, I was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And it wasn't caused by Tylenol. It wasn't caused by Tylenol. That is an absolute bullshit. Oh my gosh. It's just another way to continue the stigma around mental health, another way to continue, you know, the narrative that autistic people are this and they're never going to be this and never going to be that. Look at me now. I'm hosting a podcast. I have a movement of over 200,000 people, right? So I'm shattering those narratives. How do you shatter the narratives of being a woman, but also being a content creator, shattering through the patriarchy and societal norms? How do you do it? What keeps you going? What inspires you? Walk us through that a little bit. And feel free to ramble right here too, because there's a lot to say here. And I know you have a lot to say. So I would love for you to let our listeners know, what does this patriarchal society look like?
I just want to start by saying, like, I am white. I am a woman. I am a Christian. I am able-bodied. I am not on the spectrum. I am, what do I have to complain about? I am the definition of privilege outside of me being a woman. So what really, I don't even know. Like there are just so many people who are so privileged, who have the voice to speak out and to speak to those other privileged people. And it kind of just hurts my heart that they don't, especially those that proclaim to be Christian. Like, and I have a ministry degree. Like, I have actively studied the Bible and the gospel. And for me, everything is faith led. Like, Jesus is the center of everything for me. And so for other people who say that for them, but then they don't act like it, I just don't understand it. It hurts my heart, it hurts my soul. I don't know how they have peace. Because loving Jesus is easy, but acting out his mission and his love is hard. And I feel like a lot of people stop short and fall short of that. And that's not something that I want to do. That's not something that I want to be. And so I have also worked with immigrant and foreign communities. That's my career. And so I just have a lot of empathy, and I have a lot of compassion for people who are sidelined and who are scapegoated. And so that's really a driving force, is my religion, my empathy. I grew up watching Pocahontas and Beauty and the Beast. I just watched Beauty and the Beast last night with my son, and just watching the mom mentality turn on the beast because one man is just like, we need to blame him. And Pocahontas and the savages, it's like, did people not watch these? Or did you watch them and just side with the townspeople? Okay. Sorry, that was a lot of rambling.
No, you know, and I everything that you're saying, you know, I resonate with like very deeply. I have a very rocky relationship with religion myself. Like I went through conversion therapy for 2.5 years, and you know, the style of conversion therapy that I went through was the electroconvulsive therapy, you know,
Wow.
essentially to associate my pain with my or associate pain with my attraction to the same sex, right? And you know, under the disguise of Christianity, under the disguise of, you know, quote unquote, an ex-gay pastor. So I have a very rocky relationship with religion, and I talk very candidly about it because the candid conversations are what's going to make the difference. You know, I was involved in a group that did a conversion therapy ordinance on the municipal level in Kansas City back in November of 2019. We got our conversion therapy ordinance passed unanimously through the Kansas City City Council, and I testified as a survivor. I shared my story in a room full of people that was both mixed with people, majority of people that were there were in support of what we were doing. But there was a person by the name of Andrew Kaminsky who runs the Desert Stream Ministries, who is based out of Grandview, Missouri. And he is a literal horrific person, and I'm not afraid to say it. And, you know, being here in Kansas, we also have the Westboro Baptist Church, which
Yes.
I have visited. Not visited. Hold on. Let me backtrack that for a second. I didn't visit the actual church. I flipped the church off from the outside with my mom
Okay.
right beside me. Because, you know, right across the street is a rainbow house and a trans house, literally within view of the Westboro Baptist Church. You go up to this church, and it has a ginormous wooden fence around it. It has upteen thousand cameras. You know, I know my mom remembers this too. And it has upteen thousand cameras. And my mom looks at me and she's like, flip them off. She's like, get that on camera because I don't give a fuck what they think. So I was thinking about that. And, you know, they hide behind, you know, the freedom of religion aspect to go and protest at these military funerals. They go protest at, you know, Black Lives Matter marches. They protest at LGBTQ events. They protest, well, literally anything and everything.
Everything.
So being in the same states and knowing that they're continuing traveling across the country, they're, you know, hiding behind the freedom of religion aspect, which is why they continue to function as a church. But hearing Megan Phelps Roper and what happened to her and how she was excommunicated from the church, because she's like, this is not who I am. They don't represent my values. I grew up around it. And, she did like this whole apology. And it's like, I understand. Like we live in a society that is perpetuated by violence, perpetuated by religion. And I think continuing to share, and speak out against it from an actual true Christianity perspective, I consider myself to be a progressive Christian myself. And I've always been very, like I said earlier, I've been very, I've dabbled in different religions and I've, there's days that some days I feel like I don't belong here. I don't belong in this society. I don't belong, doing what I'm doing. There's been days that I question, why did I ever create a Facebook? Why did I ever create, social media? Because every time I turn on social media or turn on the news, another tragedy has taken place, another mass shooting, another, bullshit headline, right? So part of the mission is to share stories like yours, and to continue advocating for voices like yours. And I just feel compelled to share the stories that don't reach those headlines. And in your bio on your Instagram, I absolutely love this. And I want to turn this into a graphic because this is so freaking good. But in your bio, you have a number of different things. But the one thing that really stood out to me was Christianity isn't a cover for cruelty. Faith-rooted, justice-driven, you're also a traveler, right?
Yes.
Walk us through your traveling journey. What did you see in other parts of the world? What have you seen? Walk us through your what's your career? What have you done in your career? Like, walk us through that. Walk us through that journey.
Yeah. So ever since I was little, I've always wanted to travel. It's always been a big dream of mine. And whenever we would like go on family vacations, we'd go to the same spot every year. We'd always go to this one beach. We'd either go to Myrtle Beach and then we like changed to Destin, Florida, and it was always the same. And outside of that, we never traveled. And I'm just like, oh, like I just yearned for it. And so once I got to university, I made that part of my major. I majored in teaching English to speakers of other languages, or TESOL. And I wanted to use that to move abroad and teach English, because I also love English and grammar, and I'm very much a grammar nerd. But so I combined them. I was like, I'm going to make this my job. My job is going to travel. And after I graduated, I got a job in Jinhua, China, which is about a 2-hour train ride from Shanghai. And so I moved to China and I stayed there for nearly 8 years, which was really cool. So I got to travel around there, did a lot of Asia travels. While I was there, I met my husband, who is also a white American. He's not Chinese. And we incidentally went to the same university, which was really cool that we ended up in the same small town in China teaching English. We had our son there. We moved back here, and when we moved back, we both still wanted to travel because we had just come from COVID lockdowns in China, and I'm sure that you have seen on the news what China looked like during COVID. Very shut down, very quarantined. And so we were just locked up in our apartment and in our city for 2 to 3 years. And so we were longing to travel because that's a big value for both of us. And so when we moved back, we bought a RV and we decided to live full time in our RV and travel around the US. Because we traveled around Asia for a long time, and so we wanted to experience our home country. And then I got pregnant with our second son, and I had a very high risk, hard pregnancy. And so during that time, we weren't able to travel. And so we ended up buying a house and moving to Kansas. That's where we're at with that travel. But I am still very much an educator, with English language. Still work a lot with immigrant and foreign communities. And so, yeah.
Absolutely. What has your experience been like working with immigrant families, and what are you hearing and what are you seeing?
So a lot. Right now, I still mainly work with Chinese communities because that's the language that I'm familiar in. But I don't really get a lot of politics in with them. We just try to keep it very English based. But I love it. I still do after I graduated. Oh, 10 years ago now. Oh gosh. 10 years ago. I love the Chinese community. I love the language. I love the food. And so I love getting to interact with them still, even though we're back in the States. And so I do a lot of Zoom calls with a lot of kids that are still actually in China and then some that are still here. But yeah, I just love English. I love educating. You talked earlier about how I'm just able to break things down. I attribute that to my, I have a master's in literacy, so I know how to break things down and make it digestible. But yeah.
And you turn education into content. And that is the part
Yes.
that is very, very difficult to do, you know, and it's very time consuming. I'm almost certain, because I know how it is, you
Yes.
know, creating content for our movement. And, you know, I sit here on my computer or on my phone and I'm like, oh, damn, what can I talk about now that's going to make people, you know, start this conversation? You know, I start searching through the headlines and I'm like, okay, this is going to, you know, start a conversation around this. So this is going to start a conversation around that. And then, you know, and it's not about going viral. We happen to have posts that
No.
do go viral. You've had posts go viral. You know, a lot of content creators have posts that go viral. It's literally a part of that algorithm. But can you talk a little bit about what like Meta and like social media is doing with like the censorship of progressive content creators, and what's been your experience on that? Because I can tell you this, we went from having like 30 million views down to like 12, down to 5 million, down to 2 million. And then we're starting to get back into, you know, this algorithm of going further. But if you continue to shatter, you know, the patriarchy and continue to call out, obviously, the obvious bullshit that is going on, not just here in the United States, but also across the world, it gets suppressed in the algorithm. What's been your experience on like shadow banning and like content suppression?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I don't really feel like I've had a lot of suppression. I try to keep a lot of my content neutral. People know where I stand. I am left leaning, but I try to keep it neutral. That way I can reach both sides of the aisle. Because the left side, they know what's going on, but maybe sometimes the news isn't very digestible, or maybe this is a headline they didn't see, and then the right, I feel like, just listens to maybe one news source. And so they're not seeing the full picture, or they're just listening to what they're being told and not actually reading it, like reading the bills or reading the outcomes that will come of this. And so I try to make it neutral to reach both sides. And so I don't really see a lot of suppression on my Instagram, at least for my following count. Like, I'm only at 10K now, but all my views get thousands of views. And I have a few that have hit like hundreds of thousands, and I feel like that's normal for my following. But on TikTok, I have very much been suppressed. On TikTok, when I started posting, I started going really viral really fast. But now anymore, I get maybe 200 to 400 views. And I think that has to do with the new ownership of TikTok.
Which is a whole
But
conversation
which is
itself.
a whole separate thing. Yes. So we don't have to get into that. But I think with what I have going for me is I don't post a lot of like conspiracy theories. I don't post a lot of profanity. I don't curse in my videos. I don't talk when I do talk about like Gaza or Palestine, I will use a different word in lieu. And people have come at me like, why are you using this word? You're not giving it the full force of what it is. And it's like, well, because I don't want my video to be shadow banned. I don't want it to be suppressed, and I want the video to go. I want it to reach more people. So if this is something that I have to do to play the game, then I'm going to play the game because it's the information that gets out there that needs to get out there more than me using the appropriate word, because you all know the word that I'm saying or insinuating. And so I try to play the game, and I think that that's a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I commend you for that, you know, because it again,
It's hard.
coming from an educator perspective, I know it's very hard to kind of like differentiate what's happening. And it's like, I have this view, but how do I do it without the fear of being shadow banned? Because yeah, as a content creator, you know, obviously you want your videos to have, you know, views, you want comments, you know. Because you're putting out messages again that do not reach the headlines, or if they do reach the headlines, it's on one side and not the other side. And I'm the type of person that I look at things from multiple angles, from multiple perspectives. So I absolutely love the way that you do your content. And I utilize your content to kind of like help create our content, if that makes sense. Because it's like, okay, I'm looking at how Kate does this. Okay, we can do the same thing. And it works. It works really well. And I consider myself as very left, very progressive, but I also understand different perspectives from the other side of the aisle as well, because they do make some very valid points. However, the points that they're making can also be very inflammatory. And I think differentiating that and sharing both perspectives of it is very crucial. And I learned that from my grandfather. I learned that from my mom. You know, my grandfather was a union organizer. My mom is, well, she's a badass human that has been through domestic violence. She's been through sexual assault. She's been through, you know, now she's going through stage three cervical cancer, getting ready to go into remission. She's been through hell and back, like literally and figuratively speaking. But she continues also to call out the patriarchy, because these systems have literally failed my mom. I have seen what has happened to my mom over the years, and I see the toll that it's taken on her. She blames the gray hair on me, but it's not entirely me, not only me. She says a different narrative, but I do not believe it's all for me. You know, she sits here and she smiles. She looks at me like, well, why'd you say that? Why'd you do this? Why'd you say that? And, you know, she holds me accountable, right? And I think honestly, if it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, because she has pushed me to always be myself. She's pushed me to always do the best that I possibly can. And she has watched my movement grow over time too. She remembers the day that I announced that I was going to start organizing this. And I've been organizing for the last 16 years, since I was 14 in high school. But I think about, if I never would have got on Instagram, if I never would have created a Facebook account in 2011, showing my age. But, you know, what piece of advice would you give to somebody who wants to get into content creation, but they're not sure how? What would you tell them? What advice would you give them, and what steps would you have them take to ensure that their voice is going to be heard by exactly who they're trying to get their message to?
Yeah, so my page was actually branded as just lifestyle, and travel before I shifted, and I've archived all that old footage, so if anyone's listening who goes to try to find it, you're not gonna be able to find it. It started as that, and so it did take a while for my algorithm to correct itself. And so that was fun with the original comments that I was getting, because I was very much getting the conservative crowd with my previous content, and so shifting that was really discouraging. Because I was like, oh, well, people really don't like what I have to say. And then it took a couple weeks to correct itself. But once it did, it was like, oh, there are people who agree and who want to listen to what I have to say and that think that what I'm saying is valuable enough to share it and to follow me, which is really cool because I think what I'm saying is valuable. So it's really nice to see other people who also think that. And because I was lifestyle and it was me and my husband who were doing it together, it was like, okay, how do I start to shift this? And I was really concerned about the branding of it all. I was like, how do I get my brand? I need to figure out my brand before I start posting. And then it was just like, no, like I just need to start posting. Like the message is more important than anything else. And so I would just encourage you if you want to start making content creation to just get out of your head and to just start posting. Like I said, mine started as just venting, and just making posts to songs that were trending. And now it has just evolved in these past few months to where I am breaking down the news to make it very digestible for you. And I am going under the headlines, and just start and then figure it out as you go. That's something that my husband is trying to figure out because he really wants to start posting himself as a way. And I'm just like, just start posting. Like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about whatever you think it should look like and just get out there and do it. Because once that shifted in my mind, everything just kind of fell into place and everything just keeps falling into place. So I just encourage you to just start. If it needs to just be venting about a headline, just do that. Because honestly, the videos where I'm just yelling at people go the farthest.
Absolutely, you know, and something that I have noticed since, you know, creating this movement, which is over a year old now, which is insane to think about, because it started as a conversation at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it just transpired into something that I never imagined. And I've met people, like one of my friends, her name is Erin Gallagher, and she just wrote a book that is called Hype Women: Breaking Free from Mean Girls, Patriarchy, and Systems Silencing You. It comes out next month, like officially. And it has the foreword by Jamie Lee Curtis, right? And
Okay.
in here, she talks about constantly seeking chaos. She talks about like main character energy. She talks a little bit about, you know, why we're here, where we came from, and talks about those systems that like to silence women and progressive voices and, you know, non-binary people and trans people and just everybody. She talks about it all. And Erin Gallagher is somebody who is not afraid to speak her mind. She will be on our podcast at a later time. And I'm really excited to sit down and talk to her because we're going to do a deep dive into what the patriarchy looks like, you know, what it's like being a progressive voice in a male-dominated society, and just continue to shatter and break down those walls and break down those barriers. And then, speaking of that, you know, my co-founder Gwen is an independent music artist, and you know, she writes this music that reaches a lot of audiences. You know, she wrote the Barefoot and Pregnant song that went viral after the fall of Roe v. Wade in 2023. But it's women like her, it's women like you, like my mom, that just keep me going, that keep me pushing forward as a queer, non-binary person, engaged to a transgender woman. It keeps me going. And it gives me a lot of hope, and it gives me hope for a society that tries to silence people like my mom, being a disabled woman. We've been battling the state of Missouri for her Medicaid. We've been battling the federal government for her SSI. We've been battling things that she absolutely deserves because she paid into it. She deserves it. She deserves the systems to work for her instead of against her and oppress her voice and oppress you and oppress millions of other people that are shattering these everyday norms. And I absolutely reject oppression in all forms. And I'm really excited, you know, for people to hear this podcast episode and feel a glimpse of hope that there are content creators like yourself that break it down again in a digestible way that is easy to comprehend, easy to understand. And I cannot thank you enough for doing that because it obviously helps me, but I know it also helps others understand the full picture of what's really going on in the country and across the country, across the globe, because these issues are not just happening in the United States. Unfortunately, the United States is in the headlines, but not for good reasons. And there's a lot going on. And we continue these oppressive systems because oftentimes we hear that a system is broken, but how can a system be broken when it's working exactly how it was designed to oppress voices like you, to oppress voices like my mom, to voices like mine, right? So, with that said, is there anything else you would like to share with, our listeners? And is there anything else you would like to share about you? Like, where are you headed? What's in the future for you?
So I just want to leave my episode here with just hope. There is always hope, and once you lose that hope, that's when things start to fall apart. As long as there's someone fighting, then there's always going to be resistance, and resistance is good in a democracy. And I need people to remember that the government is a public service. It is meant to serve you. You are not meant to serve it. And if that starts to change, then you need to use your voice and remind it of what it's supposed to do. Because there are a lot of people who think the government should be run like a business, and it's not a business, it's a public service. And the people who are in charge are public servants. And they are paid to listen to you and to represent you. So if you don't like something, you need to make that known. That's your responsibility. And I would just encourage everyone to use their voice. It's very important and it's meaningful, and you will resonate with people that you never thought that you would. And speaking of hope, new things on the horizon for me is I am also launching my own podcast. So if you want to hear more of what I am saying, feel free. We're hoping to launch October 1st.
I am so excited to listen
Excited.
to your podcast. I'm so excited to continue, uplifting your voice, continue collaborating with you because it's my literal favorite thing to do is to uplift, use my platform to uplift other platforms and people that are doing the work. I did not just gain 200,000 followers overnight. This is something that's been in the works for the last year, and I want to use it for the common good. And use it to put good out into the world and amplify the voices again that do not reach those headlines, especially from marginalized communities, and continuing to shatter and fight back against the patriarchy, fight back against oppressive systems that continue to fail our future generations. Oftentimes we hear thoughts and prayers every time a mass shooting happens, and the selective outrage over one versus the other. It's the most quiet part, and it's saying the quietest part out loud. And if we were truly a quote unquote pro-life nation, the Sandy Hook children would have graduated last year and started college this year. I wanted to add that in there because it's a very pertinent thing that gun violence continues to run rampant through our communities, and we're not doing a single thing about it. We continue to send thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers is not going to stop it. What we need is policy and action. So with that, Kate, thank you for coming on the podcast today. I look forward to continue uplifting your voice, continue sharing your content, continue collaborating. You have an open invite anytime you would like to join the podcast. And please take care of yourself out there. And with that, thank you so much for coming on the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. Again, my name is Zachary Mallory, and I am the host of the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. You can find us on all of your major streaming platforms. Kate, thank you so much.
Thank you.